Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Good to go when you are, Tim.
Cue the music.
This is just a guide to modern life. Modern life is hard to get just right. It can frustrate you and annoy. And if it does, right into dear Lovejoy.
Welcome to the Dear Lovejoy podcast and the one we're calling the Affair Trilogy.
Are we? Is that what we're calling it?
Yep. I will get to that in a minute. But first, this is an advice podcast. And if you're taking advice off me, remember you're taking advice off a TV presenter. Mark is here to keep me in check.
Hi, Tim. Hi, everyone.
So on today's podcast, we have the final part of the Affair Trilogy. We've got the woman in the middle. Dun, dun, dun.
Isn't that a Michael Jackson song?
Man in the middle, so it could be a man. No, it's a woman in the middle. Dun, dun, dun. So we've had the man who had the affair. We've had it from the other point of view, the woman.
We've spent a fortune on those sound effects.
And now we've got the woman in the middle. Dun, dun, dun. Dun, dun, dun. It's exciting. Well, it's not exciting for them. It's tragic for them all.
Wait, do it again and I'll stick one in. Go on.
Dun, dun,
no,
dun.
No, that's the bit I'm going to stick in.
Oh, the woman in the middle. Oh, that's not as good as mine. Right, let's start with... Oh, also on the show, we've got some advice about a busy mother. And when I mean a busy mother, I don't mean a mother who's getting busy doing, I don't know,
looking
after children or something. I mean busy as in sticking her nose in somebody else's affair. What, her
and not also
affair.
You don't mean like a busy, like busy mother...
Yeah,
thingy.
No, mother sticking her nose in. Right. And I've got some travel pearls of wisdom just as the holiday
comes
season
to
is
it,
coming
comes.
To it.
Yeah, but save them up for your ski trip in the Christmas or in the winter.
Yeah, you could do, I suppose.
Let's put a positive spin on things. Yeah. Come on, let's not start on
now,
a negative
first note. Thing I need to talk about, Mark, is my smartphone addiction. Now, you know I've got a smartphone addiction. You know I'm trying to do everything.
Put it down.
Yeah, it's just not that easy.
No, I meant now.
As I've found. Found out. I mean, my friend's friend took have confiscated her daughter's phone, and she broke her hand when she punched a wall because she was so upset about it. I mean, the addiction is bad. Even my dad spends a lot of time on his phone. I don't know anyone who doesn't. You know, you're sitting there just right next to your phone as well. We all just they're connected.
I've got it. I'm waiting for an important call, Tim, from Hollywood.
So what I've decided to do, because I heard about it on another podcast and I've done it, is I've grayscaled my phone, which means that my phone now is...
like black and white.
It's just black and white. And apparently they've done research and it means that you won't use your phone as much because, well, quite frankly, it's boring. It looks really dull. It's just black and white. And it works because you go to your phone and it all looks dull. I've taken everything off it, though, by the way. All the apps. I've taken Twitter and Instagram and all that. I now just make a point, Mark, of just going to the computer once a day for about an hour or so. And I'm just having a little play around, doing some social media and just having a go at that. And it's kind of a better way of doing it. But I did notice that I've started to dream in black and white.
Have you? 1930s dreams.
Does that
1940s dreams?
Sounds weird, right?
Yeah.
But it only happens when I sort of just, you know, when you have a little like one of those like really sort of quick naps or something like that, and it just and it's like I've started to sort of slightly dream, and I thought I must be making this up, and I went on and researched it online, and there was a study published in 2008. That our perception of dreaming in colour or black and white is correlated with age or early childhood exposure to television. In a nutshell, the elderly report more dreaming in black and white and the young dream in colour. And I think now that I've turned my phone black and white, I think that I just love to know how that is working. And I think we're so connected to our phones. This is so part of me now that I'm starting to resemble, you know, my brain is thinking in black and white because I'm spending time looking in black and white. It's quite scary, I think, that, Mark.
It'll be scary when you start thinking in apps, though.
But I think that's what's...
Better go and open up my toilet app.
No, but I think that's how we are. I think I'm watching people walk around the streets and I think they're going, oh, Instagram picture, Twitter, I could tweet about that. And I think that's how we think now. You know when you're working on a TV show, Mark, you've done it, radio shows, TV shows and stuff, and you start having to... let's take Soccer M, for instance. I ended up watching football matches only for third eyes because we needed them. Anyone who doesn't know, I did the show Soccer M, everyone knows that. And we used to have this item, Third Eyes, which were just unusual things.
Stuff that in the background.
Yeah, it happened in the background. And you end up not watching the football because you're so obsessed with it. You're just watching
I've done a lot of topical stuff, you know, comedy and whatnot. And
yeah.
I only look for stuff that's funny in the news now. Like, if it's a depressing story, my brain switches off.
Where's the gag?
Where's the gag in this horrific car crash? Yeah. There isn't one.
No. You know? Yeah, so you've always got to be looking for the story. Yeah, so that's, and I think that's what's happened with my phone and everything. Anyway, I recommend it to anyone. If you've got a smartphone addiction like myself, grayscale your phone. You go to accessories, you can find it online, and it just turns everything black and white. And I think it's doing the trick. Let's take a little trip to Ego Corner. Harinda says, strange how things work. Lazing in Spain. I see this on my Twitter. Basically, I tweeted about the kindness podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Timeline. And I actually listened to the whole podcast. Perfect sense. Be kind. That is exactly right.
That is.
People liked that podcast, didn't they?
They did.
David Hamilton, PhD.
Yes, it was a great listen.
He was lovely. And it just made so much sense just to be kind. And I try to be more kind now. I think that's it.
I haven't noticed it this coming here, Tim.
Well,
I still have to make my own coffee.
Yeah, I don't think that's a problem, though. You come quite regularly. You can make your own coffee. Jill says, dear Lovejoy podcast keeps getting better. Please, we finish Mr. Wise Affair. Looking forward to next week. Interesting insight into life.
We did finish his affair.
Yeah, we did finish his affair. Listen, we'd like to hear from you if you've got anything to say. If you want to drop us a tweet, here is the Twitter address.
If you've got a problem with very little meat, get hold of Tim by sending him a tweet.
@TimLovejoy.
It is @TimLovejoy, yes. And we actually do have a follow-up from Mr. Y, who says, if you don't know, we've been doing a series of affairs. We had Mr. Y's affair, then we had it from the other side, which we called Mrs. M.
Basically, explain it, because the reason we've had to ask for these, because we're so chastened and perfect, we've never had affairs.
We've had never had affairs. No, we sat there one day and we said...
I was being facetious.
We said one day it must be horrific and hard work having an affair, and Mr. Y wrote in. Anyway, we read out Mr. Y. You have to listen to the last few podcasts and to hear the whole story, but we listened to Mr. Y's and then we listened to Mrs. M from the other side. But Mr. Y wrote to say, hi, Mark. That's writing to Mark the other day. Great the way the podcast finished my story. Thank you and Tim for the way you expressed what I wrote. I listened half waiting for a moment of judgment or to cringe at what I'd sent, but actually laughed at Tim's comments and found the whole podcast really funny. We weren't amused, Mr. Y, with your exploits. I can and will answer any questions you both have, but I am also very aware that it could become the Mr. Y show, and I'm sure there are a lot more interesting subjects than me. Tim raised a few points that I'd like to reply to, if you would like. I'm now seriously considering writing the book, even if it's just to understand it all. Having done this so far, I feel has started to help me understand or begin to understand things. Okay, so he's saying by even writing into us, he started to understand things. I'm very glad I shared what I have. So I think he did a good job by telling us. It was quite horrific.
He asked me as well for a couple of any ideas of how to go about writing the book as well. And I replied just a couple of things.
Oh,
and I thought you might have some because you gave some good advice last time someone else asked about that.
Just got to start writing. I think that's it. You've got to close yourself away, get rid of your smartphone for an hour, give yourself a time limit and start writing it down. I think I've not written a book, but I imagine it's just get down, start writing it. And the one book I did have was Ghostwritten.
Ooh.
Yeah. Very scary experience. get a ghostwriter. No, write it yourself. Just sit there and start plugging away at the keyboard and then make sure you get people to check it and keep checking it and make sure you like what you've written. After Mr. Y, we had Mrs. M, who went on to explain about her side of the affair, which was, the whole thing has been quite sad, hasn't it, really?
Yeah, yeah.
Now we have the woman in the middle, dun, 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 who we should call Mrs. XXX. No, we shouldn't call her Mrs. XXX. If we did call her Mrs. XXX, we'd just think, oh, she's a sleazebag, wouldn't you? It's funny.
Doesn't she call herself something?
She calls herself Mrs. T. But I was just saying, if we called her Mrs. XXX, everyone would just go, oh, she's the bad one. She's the bad one.
It would be very judgmental of us to do so.
Yeah, okay. That's what the papers would do, though, isn't it?
They'd silhouette her.
Yeah, Mrs. XXX. They always have to do that, don't they? They have to give people salacious nicknames and stuff, especially if they've had an affair. It's got to be, if there's a love tryst going on.
My favourite was Paddy Pants Down. I used to love that.
It's horrible, though, isn't it?
It's really good, though, isn't it? Come on.
It is horrible when you put yourself in the public eye.
What would yours be?
I don't know. Timmy. Lovejoy. There's got to be a play on Lovejoy, hasn't there? Like plenty of people saying rude things about Lovejoy when I was a kid growing up, that's for sure. I won't go into those now. Let's read Mrs. T's story here. So she says, morning, I'm a big fan of your podcast, and when Mr. Y wrote in, I see you have the affair from the other side with Mrs. M, I wanted to talk to you about my position. I'm the one in the middle. Dun, dun, dun. To give you a bit of background, I have two young children, and he has four children, mid-teens. I live in the Midlands and he lives about 1.5 hours away. So it's a journey, but we've made it work to date. Skyping during lunch breaks, phoning on the way in and home from work, texting every night before bed. Oh no, overnight breaks, meeting halfway to see each other. It just made my heart. So I've got this funny feeling in my stomach.
Yeah, also it's quite... I'm going to be judgmental here, I don't care. It sounds a bit grim, like meeting halfway, meeting, you know, love at a service station.
Love at Newport Pagnell. Look, Mrs. T, we're not going to judge you because that's not, you're writing in and it's nice, but it's the idea that you're texting a man, or he vice versa, he's texting you and he's lying in bed with another woman, or that last late night text is the one which grates me. Somehow you've got to kind of hide that from your partner. It's like, just say to the partner, your other partner, I'm not into it anymore. I'm going to go and see the woman from down the road.
From the KFC on the motorway.
From the motorway services. When we met a year ago in work, we saw each other every day and instantly clicked. See, that's another problem with modern technology, right? Because years ago, if you met someone in work you quite fancied, at some stage you'd have to buy the water cooler or making coffee, you'd have to say, do you fancy going out on a date or something? Whereas now you can just get...
Stalk them on Facebook.
Yeah, you get cheeky on email, or, you know, hey, let me give you a text. Oh, I've got something, you know. You can just get a bit cheeky and push the boundaries a bit and see how it goes. It's a lot easier. The entry's easier, isn't it? What's the word
Choose
I'm looking
words.
For? That's the wrong word. You know what I'm trying to say. Anyway, when we met at work... Stop laughing. A year ago in work, we saw each other every day and instantly clicked. Sparks to the lot. My marriage was over. He was in a marriage that was dead and they were purely going through the motions. Two people sharing the same home. Okay, so I can see it, right? Yeah, they're both in dead marriages. They start liking each other. I can only tell you what he tells me, she says. We have so much in common. It's uncanny. We've fallen for each other big time. He's always been open and honest with me, and I believe everything he has told me. Money is an issue in his family. He has always said if he won the lotto, he would walk away knowing everybody is secure financially. I also know that his children are his life, as are mine. We're always talking about the future and wishing things were different and that we'd met each other earlier. Things came to a head in their household recently in which she begged him to stay for the kids. They have openly said that they have no feelings in the right way a couple should have for each other, just mutual respect. He's decided to stay with her for the kids. Oh. And they had no, if they had no kids, he would leave her. This is broken, shattered, torn my head apart. I feel grief like I've never felt before. Everyone has told him he needs to be happy, but he won't hurt his children. How's it hurting his children? Children, what? Okay. I know it was wrong to have this affair. He's devastated, as am I. Why is it wrong? It's not wrong to love someone and to like someone. And it's, what's wrong is not to tell the other people.
Yeah, go about it the right way. That's what she means, isn't it?
Yeah. It's just, why do people get themselves in this? Just like, I like you, like, let's give it a go. I can't let him go. He makes me happy and wanted, desired. I truly don't think I will find what I have again with anyone else, as I don't have a social life with two young children and my family live down south. Look, having children is no excuse not to have a social life. I'm sorry. You've plenty of ways that you managed to go to work, so you know you can manage to find a social life. I think you're relying at this stage, I'm just saying what I'm feeling at this stage, you're relying far too heavily on this man to make your life happy. You've got to be happy in yourself, and then he comes into it and makes you even happier. You can't just say, right, that's it, me and the kids, I need that man in my life to make me happy. I don't think that's fair on him, and it's not fair on yourself, and it's not fair on your children either. I don't know what to do. We want to continue this as it makes us both happy and see what happens. Do you stay together for the children? Is it better for them? It's so hard to see them get hurt. Is it better to stay together to avoid the hurt, or leave and for both parents to find love and happiness? I'm sorry this probably doesn't read right as I'm typing through watery eyes. Oh dear, I feel dead inside, can't eat, sleep, I feel numb. Oh no. I know, Tim, you have been there, and I'm not sure of your current situation, whether you have love at the moment or not, but how did you deal with your breakups? I would love to hear your side of the story. I hope your listeners don't hate me. I'm separated. His marriage is dead. He just won't hurt his kids. Thank you for reading, and I hope to hear your response ASAP, as I'm currently in a mess, and this is fresh and happening now. Mrs. T. Wow. I will say the important thing is the acceptance of your situation. That's the important thing. You've got to work out, you've got to accept where you're at the moment. Once you accept the truth, the reality of where you are, then you can move on. You're stuck at the moment. You're still hoping for the fantasy of being with this man and his four children. You live miles away from him and he's not wanting to leave his kids. But I think deep down, the reason why you're so hurt, you feel dead inside, you can't sleep, you feel numb, it's because you actually understand that the hopelessness of this situation. It's just not going to work, is it, unless he leaves his wife. And if he leaves his wife, where the hell are you two going to live? The KFC on the service station? I don't know. I mean, it's like, it's how does it all work if they live miles away from each other, by the sounds of
it. Also, you've got to remember, it's that thing as well, isn't it? Because she's come out of a relationship. She got bored in that relationship. He's got bored in his one. What's to say that all this excitement isn't just going to dissipate at some point and you're both going to be bored with each other and you've wrecked a marriage and some kids' lives for what was a bit of excitement?
Oh, whoa, 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 whoa. You've not wrecked kids' lives.
No, but you will do if you...
No. No, I that's the one thing I disagree with. You can handle it properly. There's lots of people, there's lots of kids who come from divorced parents who are absolutely fine because they feel loved by both their parents. And that's a place to be. And I've told you before in this podcast, I did a documentary series on it. What kids want is to know that their parents love them.
Right.
That's what they want.
They don't
need to know that their parents love each other. That's what they would prefer. But if the parents don't love each other...
My point is, once that excitement goes away, just think about it like that. Just think about, at some point, you're going to feel the same way as you do about your ex.
It's... What it... What... No. no, there's real love there. She might love him. He could be perfect for her. But he's not. It's nonsense that he would stay together with his wife and be miserable for his kids. That's just stupid. Kids don't want their parents to be miserable. If he's really not happy, then he should maybe be moving on. Now, the financial side of things just makes this even more difficult. It sounds such a mess because he obviously thinks, if I leave my wife, I suddenly have no money and I've got four kids to support. He must be going through hell, that guy, if I'm honest with you. Kids will be okay if you love them and there's no games played with them. They'll be okay. That's what they want. They want to be loved and they will understand that you are doing what's right for you as well as for them. The truth is the best in all this. If everyone started being truthful in the whole thing, I don't think it'd be such a mess. You've got to work out, does he really want to be with you? He really needs to go, I think, go and see someone and work it all through, because he seems to really like her, but he wants to be good for his kids and he's financially got problems if he leaves. So, Mrs. T, this is the problem with affairs, is it's so... another warning on affairs, I suppose, here. If you are you should have said to him right at the beginning, I know it's too late now, hindsight is a wonderful thing, but right at the beginning you said, do you know what, I really fancy spending some more time with you, but you're with your wife and kids. If you leave your wife and kids, come and spend some time with me. And not leave them for me, but, you know, if you leave your wife and kids... But now you're in the middle of this stuff, and... he's stuck, you're stuck, everybody's stuck. You're all stuck. You need to move on. That's what you need to do.
Stuck in the middle, that's another song.
Stuck in the middle, dun, dun, dun. Thank you for lightening the mood, Mark. It needed it. No, she needs to move. I'm sorry, you need to take your life and think about your life. As I always say to Mark, you need to be the star in your movie. That's what you need to do. You need to wake up tomorrow and go, it's my movie, it's my adventure.
Even if it goes straight to video.
Yeah, even if it's straight to video.
Straight to petrol forecourt.
Like Mark's is, yeah. Mark's life's on VHS.
He did an Esso garage in a basket.
He didn't even make Blu-ray. Don't focus on him anymore. Focus on you. You can't tell him what to do. You can just tell him how you feel about him. And then you've got to get on with your life and make your own decisions up. You can't... What can you do? Stand there begging him and pleading with him. Get on with your life, because that is the reality of it. He's not leaving his kids. He can't do it financially. He can't do it. He's got to worry about his own stuff. You know, if he was writing into me, I'd be... telling him to do that. You've got to move on now. You've got to go, right, this is my life. I do love him. Accept that you love him. Tell him you love him. Tell him you think he's amazing. But then you've got to wake up tomorrow and think, I've got to move on now with what I've got to do. That's what I've got to do. So, you know, that is where I think you should be. Otherwise, you're just going to be stuck in limbo for the rest of your life, or for years, and you're just going to miss out on your life. You're sitting there going, I don't have a social life. All I'm doing is sitting around thinking about him. And understandably, you're thinking about him because you've got really fond. Just get on. Get up. Start doing some stuff. Make yourself the star of your movie. It's not cool having an affair, is it? I'm sorry, Mrs. L.
T.
T. Mrs. T. Sorry. But you're just... It's just... Listen, for anybody out there who's thinking about having an affair, we've read three stories out and none of them are happy, are they?
No.
None of them are happy.
No.
It's not the thing to do.
It's no brief encounter, is it?
No.
Well, it is brief encounter. Because that's sad at the end.
It doesn't seem like anybody comes out of it well, apart from maybe the people who've been cheated on sort of get their lives together because they probably have acceptance very quickly of their situation and move on, whereas the others... But even then, not necessarily. Don't have an affair. That's the moral of the story.
Is that our new Jerry Springer tagline?
Don't have an affair.
We'll see you next week. And remember, don't have an affair.
Don't do it. I'm trying to think if there's any way that an affair could work out to be good in the end. All right, should we move on to our next problem? Listen, Mrs. T, let us know how you get on. I'm sorry. I hope we haven't upset you there. It's just you need to get control back of your life. That is the really important thing, is you're out of control at the moment. That's where you're at. You feel helpless. Because you can't control him. You can't control him and his decisions with his four children and everything else. You'll be all right. You'll be all right, Mrs. T. Just make yourself the star of the movie.
Use the KFC as an analogy.
Yes.
It might be tasty, but it's not good for you.
I tell you what, it's worth using an analogy. When you're sitting there and your dark, lonely nights, think, is it really a romantic movie for me to be going to the KFC in a service station?
I love the way that we've just decided that's where she's meeting.
I'm meeting the man of my dreams in a KFC in a service station. That's not Hollywood. That's not Blake breaking box office records. That is not. No one's buying that film. Start writing a film that people are going to buy, you know? Start living the film that people are going to buy. Just think how grim that is. Think how grim it is that you're sitting there late at night going, oh God, I hope he texts me before he goes to bed and hope I can text him. That's grim. You should be lying next to the blooming guy. It's not happening. Upgrade. McDonald's at a service station. Should we move on?
It's normally Burger King.
Burger King, no. I wouldn't go.
Marks and Spencer, Simply Food.
Yeah.
Or Waitrose.
Yeah, let's stop there as the Waitrose. Get some sushi. If you're going to have an affair, at least buy some sushi. Stop with the KFC stuff. Right, let's move on to here. Oh, she calls herself actually. This is about...
Does she want her name read out?
Well, I've not read her surname out. But it's too much detail.
Yeah. I'm going to go back and bleep that. So they'll hear you bleeping something and then I'll be saying, are you sure you want that read out?
All right. Let's move on to our next one. Mrs. Pick a letter, Mark.
E.
Mrs. E. Dear Tim, I'm currently catching up with your podcast. They actually make me laugh out loud on the train to work. I always love it when I see someone with some headphones in and they start laughing because I'm always thinking they're listening to a podcast. I'm often doing that on the train, giggling away. Thinking,
I thought you were saying, they must be listening to our podcast.
Oh, it's doubtful. They're just listening to a podcast and it makes me laugh. Now for the serious part of this email, listening to Tracy's problem.
That was a long time. That Tracy's email was one of our first ever emails. She was one of our first ever...
Yeah, one of our first ever emails. Yeah, listening to Tracy's problem. I, as well, was married when my husband cheated on me. Oh, again! And then accused me of cheating as he felt guilty. Oh, I hate that as well. I hate that when people they start blaming you for stuff because that's what they want to do. Then I was going to get married again, but he decided to say that he had changed his mind. Oh, no, jilted on the altar.
Oh,
poor
no.
Mrs. E. Oh, it's miserable, this. Don't listen to this podcast. It's going to make you all... do some happy stuff at the end. I moved to the Netherlands. That's right near Holland, apparently. And have lived here for 5 years now. And I'm finding it hard to trust and find someone that I like and feel like I could spend time with. I find the smallest issues with them not to date them. The other person who I need to contend with is my mother. I'm 35 this year. She has written me off the fact that I will never meet anyone or that I actually don't need someone as men are more hassle than they're worth. By now, Tim, I know you're no expert. You are TV Tim. TV Tim. But please advise, I'd like a male perspective on this matter. Kind regards, Mrs.
E.
E.
So her mother has written her off.
Or said men are too much hassle. She's basically getting involved and getting a bit busy. We'll start with your mum. You have your own life. It's got nothing to do with your mum. I just think the easiest thing is just never discuss this stuff with your mum because clearly it's making you upset. It honestly has nothing to do with her. It literally has absolutely nothing to do with your mum. When you give birth to someone, like your mum has, or you know, if you're a dad and you've got a... children, when you bring them into the world, it's their lives, not yours. Butt out and let them live their own lives. Meanwhile, it's lovely to have family and friends who can help you. But meanwhile, don't ever think that because they're a family member, they know more than you. For some reason, we believe opinions from family members are...
Take advice, not orders.
Yeah, but do you want advice off your mum? She's a different generation.
That was supposed to be a really catchy thing. You're supposed to go, oh, I like that.
You got to preempt it. You got to start with that famous Buddhist proverb. What is it, Mark?
Take advice, not orders.
Mm. Don't take advice off your mum. Take advice off a TV presenter.
I'm going to do that next time you come up with a catchy thing. I'm going to go,
Family members, right, they can make it harder as because they either care too much or they don't care enough, I think, generally we find on this. But, you know, your mum might care so much about you that she's just sort of, she's worried so much that she's just blurting out nonsense. If she brings it up, just say, which people don't use enough. I keep saying this. If someone says something and you don't want to talk about it, just say, I don't want to talk about it. I've done it a couple of times recently. It's really good. As for new men, I reckon most people's advice here would be, because, you know, she says the little smallest things will stop her dating. I understand why you don't trust someone, but those little things. What would your advice be, Mark? And then I'll tell you mine.
My advice.
She says, like, so she's seen these guys and the smallest thing, she finds the smallest reason to say, oh, I'm not going to date him, or I won't go out with him. What would you say?
I'd say she's probably right.
Oh, see, that's what I would say as well. Yeah, because most people say, oh, get over it, you know. Oh, you never know. He might be good. But I actually think probably the smallest things are correct. You've been through two horrific relationships by the sounds of things. And hopefully you're now starting to become aware of the signs. And I think it's important you read the signs and see the signs. You're seeing the nonsense being delivered early. So I actually like it that you're going, nah, he's not right for me because of this or that or anything. You can see the things which were probably present in your ex-husband or the guy who left you on the altar. It might be something in your subconscious that's telling you that it's not right. So it's probably right. I'm sure if Mr. Right walks into your life, you're going to find no problems with him. You're just going to think, I really like this guy, I want to hang out with
him. He's called Mr. Right, so that's a bit of a clue.
He's called Mr. Right. There's a huge signpost there for you. Strolls into your life, and then you're going to be going, oh, I love this guy, he's brilliant, he's really good. Let's take him to KFC. Yeah, so I don't know. Do you know what I really think? The more I've been doing this podcast, Mark, the more we've been doing this, especially with all this affair stuff, and the word love is banded around nonstop, isn't it? And he said he loved me, and I love him, and she loves me, and she... And yeah, he loves me, but he's having he's gone off with someone else, or, you know, I really love her, but I've decided to have an affair with another woman. The more I've been doing the podcast, the more I believe love is about actions and not words. I think any idiot can say I love you. I love you, Mark.
Oh, my stomach just turned.
Not everyone can be caring and kind, but everyone can say, I love you. And that word is used so much to manipulate everything. I love you. It means nothing.
I do. That coffee I had, though, just that coffee. I love that coffee.
You love that coffee.
It's really nice.
You just band it around. Just a cup of coffee gets that word, the word that's so important. I love it. I absolutely love that cup of coffee. Look, I think you're right. I think you're doing the right thing. I really do. Don't listen to your mum. I think you're fine to be a bit picky. Just go out, find it.
Her mum doesn't live in Holland either, does she?
I don't know. Because, I mean... She might be Dutch. With a name like Mrs. E, she could come from anywhere. do you know what? The Buddhist saying that, you know, the great Buddhist saying... lust can wait, but love can't. Ugh. No, lust can't wait, but love can. Get it the right way around.
Wait. Is that it?
Yeah. It's a great saying. It is a great saying. So if you're looking for lust, just get stuck in. If you're looking for love, it can wait. You can be a bit picky. Thank you, Mrs. E. Do you fancy some pearls of wisdom, some life hacks, things they didn't teach you at school?
TV team in the house. Life hacks. Pearls of wisdom. Don't let life mug you off. Mug.
I have got a trilogy that's three mark of travel hacks, pearls of wisdom. Starting with, did you know you can have two passports?
No, I didn't, Tim.
That's a hack. Because I only found that out the other day. Isn't that amazing?
Like what?
What do you mean?
Go on, explain.
You've always assumed you can only have one passport, right?
Well, if you're dual citizenship, you have
two. No. as a UK citizen, you are allowed, Mark, to have two UK passports.
Are you looking this up on the computer?
Yes.
Why didn't you look it up beforehand?
I'm going to look it up to check that it's true. Bear with me. Okay. This is the exciting bit of the podcast where I Google stuff. How to get a second passport.
Don't just read offline.
Why have one passport when you can have two? Having a pair of passports could come in very handy indeed. So you're allowed two UK passports, two of them.
Like a second copy?
It's called a concurrent passport. And it's fairly common for frequent business travellers to have them for two reasons. One, you do travelling for work that requires you to apply for multiple visas.
Oh, right. So when you've got one at, you know...
Or...
At the embassy.
You travel to incompatible countries, which are an example of that, Mark, is what? God, which countries don't like each other? Here we go.
The UK and the rest of the world, isn't it, by the looks of it?
Okay, Russia and Ukraine, they're not compatible. They don't like it when you travel both of them. That's the example they're using here. So if you're going to travel to Russia and Ukraine, use one for Russia, one for Ukraine. Do you know how I knew this? Was because I was talking to someone involved with Noel Gallagher's management team once, and they said, oh yeah, all rock stars have two or three passports because they have to always get their visas done stuff, and also they lose them.
Yeah.
But I think they can go for more. I think you just keep on saying you lost one and they keep on sending them to you. So they don't advertise it.
You can sell them.
They don't advertise it, Mark, but the way to do it is... you fill out a standard passport application form. You add existing passport number, and then you go a letter. You need a letter to explain why, maybe from your mum. Get your mum, Mark, to write a letter saying why Mark needs one. Mark needs a new passport because he's going to Ukraine and Russia.
I've got a related life hack.
What?
To this one. When you're doing a podcast and you come up with a fact, make sure you've looked it up beforehand so you don't have to spend time other people's time while they're listening or you go on your laptop.
It would be good though, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Especially if you travelled and you're travelling around, you can always have a couple of passports, you lose one, you go, I don't give a damn, I've got another one here. It'd be great. I think, should we all apply for one? Are you going to apply for one?
No.
Why not?
Don't go anywhere.
Right. Life hack number two on travelling. Where do you want to go? Where's the place you want to go?
Tokyo.
Yeah, I want to go to Tokyo. I want to go to Tokyo and the Highlands. That's not really abroad, though, is it? That's kind of
perhaps if British. we could expense a trip to Tokyo on the podcast and say doing a.
Let's take some of this podcast budget, which is exactly nothing, and go to Tokyo. Where else do you want to go? See, I was thinking we're not going together, but what we could do is a jolly up. When someone sponsors this podcast, we'll take all the cash and spend it on a trip to Asia.
Perhaps we could do like a... What do
China,
you
Japan, Hong Kong and South Korea.
North Korea, honest.
I'd like to do North Korea, but I don't think they're very accepting of us at the moment over there. But we could do those four all in space of 10 days, 2 weeks, I think.
Okay.
My friend Jamie told me you can do that. Just fly between them all.
Okay, let's do that then.
Have a good time.
Done, sorted.
Okay, so anyone wants to sponsor this podcast, the money will be spent wisely. Trip to Asia. Okay, number two of the tourist trilogy, Pearls of Wisdom. Do not go to any tourist destinations invented by humans. Just Google the pictures of them if you want to see them. Enjoy your holiday instead.
What is that?
When have you ever been to anything made by a human, right, as a tourist attraction that's any good? Stop laughing and name one.
All of New York.
All of New York
is amazing.
No, that's a city. That's not a tourist destination. It wasn't like, oh, let's build New York as a tourist destination. That is a city.
The Empire State Building.
What, have you been up it?
Yes, thank you.
Terrible.
No.
Boring.
Central Park, man-made, perfect.
Boring. Have you been there?
Yes. Strawberry Fields within Central Park. Amazing. Dakota Building. Why? Amazing. John Lennon. You know why.
Why?
Amazing.
Why was it amazing?
Because it's just an amazing place to go.
Why?
Because it's different from where I live.
Yeah, but why is it amazing?
So what are you suggesting? Go to a rock?
So you're in New York. Go to a deli.
What? Who do you think makes the sandwiches? Who do you think built the building?
You're not
you
listening.
You are talking cobblers, Lovejoy.
You're not listening. Do not go to any tourist destinations invented by humans. I'm tourist destination. So someone goes, look, we've got Empire State Building. It's a perfect example. The last time I went to New York, I was made to go up with it with my kids. I was that horrible dad who said, if we go up the Empire State Building, we're going to be the first ones in the queue. Because I am not, and I repeat, I am not queuing to go up.
We are not going on holiday to Asia together. Let's get this straight.
I am not queuing.
You want to go to Tokyo? That's built by humans.
Yes, I'm not saying a city. What are you comprehending here?
Because this is the worst life hack you've
ever
done.
It's not. It's not, because I've never been anywhere man-made by a human that you go, man might be a human, as opposed to what? Do you know there was 9 different types of human beings at one stage on this planet?
Brilliant. Don't try and get off subject. This is
we're the only ones left. Do you know that? We're the only ones left. There was 9 types. And they don't even believe we walked out of Africa. They believe we could have come from all over the place. There's also, they know there's a chimpanzee which used to bury its dead. We thought we were the only people who buried its dead, but apparently not. So there you go.
So
the reason why Neanderthal wiped itself out was because we invented the needle and thread. So we could make clothes during those really cold periods. Neanderthal man was all right at keeping warm, but it couldn't keep its babies warm enough and they all died. Oh, Lovejoy's got the knowledge.
So back to your cruddy life hack.
It's not cruddy at all, right? So Empire State Building. So I walk up there with my kids and I say, right, so we sort of get up at 6.
But it's for the view.
All right, let me tell you. So we got there at 6 o'clock in the morning or something. I said, what are you expecting when you get up there? And they went, oh, it's going to be an amazing view. So the day before, I Googled it for them, showed them the view on the Google.
Tim Killjoy.
So I Googled it and I said, there's the view, but let's go up there anyway, because you're insisting that I go up there. Oh, by the way, I was also made to stand outside a cake shop. In somewhere in New York. It's a cake shop which was...
Oh, it does those cupcakes. It's called something or other, isn't it?
Because it's in Sex in the City. Sex and the City.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you're seriously queuing for a cupcake. You can get them anywhere. And when they're eating, they go, oh, these are the best cupcakes ever. I wasn't just for my kids, but these are the best cupcakes ever. No, they're not. No, you're just saying that because you had to queue for half an hour to get a blooming cupcake.
And you're saying go to a deli?
Yeah.
Well, you have to queue in a deli. You don't just walk straight.
Why do you have to queue in a deli? No, you don't. You walk
in. Well, you just barge everyone out of the way, do you? I'm on telly in the UK. Let me have my sandwich first.
No, but it's not like a half an hour queue down the road. You just queue up like you do anywhere in a deli. Anyway, so I went up the Empire State Building. Why you're putting really bad arguments forward now is you know I'm right. So
I don't even know what you mean, so I don't know if you can be right.
So we go up the top of the Empire State Building. We pay a lot of money to go up there because it's not cheap to go up these things. We get to the top and the kids look out and they look at the view and I go, is that amazing? And they go, it's all right. And they go, is that life changing? No, not really. Okay. What do you want to do now? And they said, okay, we'll go down now. And I'm like, we've been here 5 minutes. I'm like, yeah. Because that's what everyone does. You go to a man-made human tourist attraction. Go to the Empire State Building and watch what people do when they're at the top.
What sort of tourist, there's nothing to do. What sort of tourist attractions do you suggest then?
So if you're going to New York, find out what they're famed for. So years ago, it was the yellow cab. So you get in a yellow cab and you go, oh, I'm just like in a movie and it's kind of good fun. Then you go...
Made by humans.
I'm going to go to... You're not listening. Which bit don't you understand?
Any of it, Tim.
Man-made tourist attractions. The cabs aren't made for tourists. The cabs are made for people of New York. Then you go, I'm going to go to a deli.
So what you
Deli's
mean...
Deli's good because that's what people do in New York. I'm going to go to the cinema because if you go to the cinema in New York, they talk all the way through. It's funny.
That sounds brilliant. So what you mean is popular tourist attractions, not man-made by humans, because all of New York is man-made by humans.
No, because I'm saying if you go to something like the Grand Canyon, I imagine that's amazing. It's not made by humans. That's a tourist attraction, not made by humans. It's a tourist attraction made by Mother Nature.
But using
or
your
God,
using
which depends
your
what, which way you look you, at
using
it,
using your philosophy on this,
yeah.
You're going to get them go, oh, it's just a big hole in the ground.
No, you're not. You're going to go, wow, look, that's amazing.
Oh, you're in the queue for 5 minutes.
Do you know what? I don't know whether how you see the Grand Canyon, but if there is one entrance and exit to see it, then it's boring. I think people fly in, down it in a helicopter. Can you actually go in it and walk around in it?
I mean, I don't think so.
Is it somewhere you can get to, or do you have to, is there just one bit? Like, I imagine Niagara Falls would be horrific because it would just be a horrible tourist trap. But if you see that, you go, wow, that's kind of impressive. But anything man-made, I wouldn't bother. I just wouldn't bother going to most
tourists. You can't get there if you don't use the airport, and that's made by humans.
It's not about... Oh, Mark. I'm going to save our listener and move on. They all know what I'm talking about, and it's true. This is the trilogy.
If you have any idea what he's talking about, please write in and explain it to me. Thank you.
The trilogy, the third one. Always give a fake name to people picking you up from an airport to avoid being kidnapped. No, you're laughing at that, and you shouldn't be, Mark, because this is a growth industry, kidnapping, apparently. I read it the other day. It's brilliant. You know, I read a lot of rubbish online. So what people are doing now...
Also, I spouted lots of it as well.
What people are doing now is they buy the list of passengers from a flight. Then they Google them. So Tim Lovejoy comes up and they Google me and they go,
oh, it's a TV.
This is TV Tim. He's TV Tim there, right? And so I've got...
What accent are we doing here?
None.
Okay, not Russian. No.
No, I think it's from different parts of the world they're doing it. It's kind of... When I read in the... it's organized crime. That's how they describe it, organized crime. So what happens is you they look at it and then they Google me and they go, oh, look, this guy's got some followers on Twitter and he's got a TV profile or whatever, and they see that's you've got something, and they can, you know, if there's information about you on Google, you're someone, you're a businessman, you're something. What they do then is they turn up at the airport and they assume that most people are going to get, you know, if they've got some form of stature, I've got a driver picking them up, so there'll be a name on a board. So then they go over to the guy with the name on the board and they either say, here's some money, we'll do it, or they'll threaten them to kill them or whatever the organized crime people do. Then they'll stand with a board and they take you into a car, they kidnap you, and then they say, we've got you, and they go back to the country, and then they ask for ransom and they just take their chance.
So what you're saying is
you're worth money. And apparently more and more people, this is becoming, a lot of Americans are starting to do this now, apparently, are going, what you do is you book your flight under one name but you book your car under another. So if someone turns up and they've got your name on a board, you know that's not for you.
So basically just go to the airport and hold up Darren Day on a board and no one will bother you. Is that what you're saying?
What do you mean?
Well, they look up Darren Day. He hasn't done anything for years, has he?
Mark. You just put a random name. You know, do you know what it's similar to? Is when you did the, you know, you gave the fake address to, when you did your hack.
Oh, about
giving the fake address so that you can see if people are selling on your address. But it's kind of like that, really. So you turn up and I know you're laughing at this. But apparently, it's a lot of people this is happening to now, and you've got to be worried about it. It's just the
they're going to look me up and go, yeah, it's not worth it.
Yeah, they'll look you up and they'll go, but it's just for people who have business profiles, celebrities, that sort of thing, who've got a profile, and they think, would they get any money back off the family? Do you know what it is? It's more a business thing, because businesses don't like losing people because sometimes they've got money invested in them. Anyway, there's your trilogies of life hacks there. If you've got a life hack for us, you've got anything you want to say, here's the email address.
If what you want to ask is just too long for Twitter, don't stress. We've got an easy to remember email address. This is the reason for this overly long song. It's dearlovejoypodcast@gmail.com.
We were going to do an agony aunt, me versus an agony aunt on this week's show, but we've run very long now.
That second life hack really just took it out of us and the listeners, I think. I think we want to end it now.
Do you need me to explain it to you again one more time?
No,
I'll do it over a beer later.
That's the first time I would turn down a beer if I have to listen to that again.
We'll finish it here, but just quickly, just
for
the listener.
Cue the music.
Well, what are your top three tourist attractions made by humans? Go. Or just give me three good ones. Go.
Me?
Yeah. Because you're not agreeing with me, so give me three. Go.
Cue the music.
You can't do it, can you? Thank you, everybody, for joining us this week. I've just sussed Mark. I thank you all. You can email us. You know what the address is. TimLovejoyPodcast@gmail.com. Dear Lovejoy Podcast. Email us at Tim Lovejoy. You can subscribe to us. You can leave a comment there. And you can rate us 5 stars if you can. 3, Mark. 3.
I've already faded you out by this point. I've, genuinely, you're going to be faded out now.
3.